Josh Haston here, Israel Uncensored, on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. It is the 6th of March, 2017. Hope you're doing well in your part of the world. Don't forget, you can always get in touch with me. Josh at thelandofisrael.com is my email. On Facebook, it's Joshua Haston. And on Twitter, my handle is at Josh Haston. Now, I was at a very interesting event yesterday, Sunday, here in Jerusalem at the King David Hotel. There was a press conference. Congressman Ron DeSantis from the state of Florida, he was here in Israel with a congressional delegation exploring, I would say, not only where but when the U.S. Embassy will be moved, and I say will be moved because that's what the congressman believes, to Jerusalem. Now, President Donald Trump, that was one of his promises along the campaign trail. I know other presidents have also promised that the embassy, the U.S. embassy would be moved from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, our capital. But it seems that this is going to happen. We thought it might happen day one of the Trump administration. But Ron DeSantis, the congressman from Florida, he believes that the president will keep that campaign promise, move the embassy, and he thinks it's going to happen soon. He is also the chairman of the House Subcommittee on National Security, responsible for the security at U.S. embassies around the world. So he was here on a whirlwind tour, I think just for 24 hours or so, exploring potential locations for the U.S. embassy. And one of the most logical approaches would be to turn the U.S. consulate in Armona Nativ, turn that into the embassy, change the sign, if you will, make that the future place of work, place of business for David Friedman, who he believes will be the next U.S. ambassador to Israel. He thinks that that nomination is going to go through. So we were at a packed, and I say we, I mean members of the press, were at a packed press conference in Jerusalem yesterday. Everyone was there, from the foreign media, from the local media. I mean, it was just a packed house there to hear Ron DeSantis. And so what I was able to do was I was able to get a few minutes alone with the congressman. So we're going to air that here if we can. Benjamin Bresky, my main man, engineer extraordinaire. We're going to air my few minutes. I got to speak to him for about 3-4 minutes after the press conference, one-on-one. So we're going to air that. Afterwards, we're going to air the press conference in its entirety. And after that, I'll come back and give my take on some of the things that he said. So here is my very short, but I was glad, grateful for the opportunity. Thanks to Ruthie Lieberman to have the time to talk to the congressman one-on-one on his trip here in Israel. So here is Congressman Ron DeSantis. Josh Haston here with Congressman Ron DeSantis from Florida, who is here in Jerusalem exploring places where the embassy, U.S. embassy, can move. We heard about it during the administration, during the elections, rather. And now we're talking practically on the ground, the embassy moving to Jerusalem from Tel Aviv. If you can, I know you're only here 24 hours, just summarize your trip and where do things stand now and what message will you be sharing back to your fellow congressman when you return to Washington?
Well, where we stand now is that the president's going to have a decision in May about whether to extend this waiver under the Jerusalem Embassy Act, which would then basically not require him to move the embassy to Jerusalem as Congress passed. Now, the president campaigned on moving the embassy, and I just don't think he's going to exercise the waiver. So we wanted to come out on the committee, because we deal with embassy issues a lot, to come out here, get on the ground, talk to folks, go visit the key sites that people have identified as being suitable to house the American embassy in Jerusalem, and then bring back that knowledge back on the committee so we can share that with other members of Congress.
So bottom line, even though there was some wavering, the president originally said yes, it was going to happen. People were optimistic that it was going to happen day one. You're optimistic that this May, when Israel celebrates its 50th anniversary of the reunification of Jerusalem and the Golan and Judea and Samaria, you think it's going to happen?
Look, I would bet that it's going to happen. I mean, I don't have a crystal ball, but if just imagine how powerful it would be to announce the embassy moving during the celebration of Jerusalem's the 50th anniversary of Jerusalem Day. I mean, it'd be a really, really good moment for the American people, but obviously people here in Israel, and it'd be very good for the American-Israeli relationship.
Well, what can I say? Israel appreciates your support. We thank you so much for being here, and let's hope that embassy moves.
Absolutely. From your lips to God's ears.
Thanks so much. So that was my short interview with Congressman DeSantis talking about moving the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem. And now we're going to go ahead and roll the full press conference because I think he answered a lot of important questions, good questions, which were asked to him by members of the local media in Israel, the foreign press here in Israel, about what it would mean to move the embassy, the ramifications of such a move. And Congressman DeSantis was absolutely clear that that he is not an honest, so-called honest broker, that he sides with the state of Israel. Let's go ahead, Ben, and let's run the entire press conference yesterday at the King David Hotel in Jerusalem.
Well, good evening. Thank you for coming. I'm Congressman Ron DeSantis. I represent the 6th Congressional District in Florida in the U.S. House of Representatives. I'm the chairman of the National Security Subcommittee on the Oversight Committee. As part of those responsibilities, we focus heavily on oversight of the State Department, and particularly through the years on matters relating to embassy security costs and what have you. And given that we've had a very busy legislative calendar so far, there hasn't been a lot of time to bring a lot of members out, but I thought I needed, as chairman, to come out to Israel. I've been here several times in the past, but to look at some of the proposed sites for the moving the American embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. As some of you may know, there's overwhelming support in the U.S. Congress to have the American embassy in Jerusalem. In 1995, Congress passed the Jerusalem Embassy Act with overwhelming support that this should be moved. You also probably know that within that law, there was a waiver where the President of the United States could extend the deadline for moving it every 6 months, and they could cite national security concerns. So even though presidents like Bill Clinton and George W. Bush campaigned on moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, it never failed that they exercised their national security waiver and did not follow through with what the law would have then triggered. I don't know if President Barack Obama promised to move it, but I don't think any of us thought he was in favor of moving it, and it wasn't a surprise that he didn't do it. Well, Donald Trump, as a candidate, campaigned very aggressively on a number of things, including that he would move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And that is already the law. Congress has already weighed in. President Obama did a waiver in December for 6 months before this decision would have to be, or the Congress's mandate would have to be carried out. A lot of people thought maybe Donald Trump would do this on day one. He did not do that. Some were disappointed. They say they're looking at the issue. But here's the deal, and why I thought it was important to come out and get some knowledge in the Congress about where this thing will actually be, is he's in a position where he's either going to follow his campaign promise or he's going to actually have to sign this waiver. And I just think, knowing the president, he's been a man of his word. I don't think that he is going to, on the same month where people here in Jerusalem are celebrating the 50th anniversary of Jerusalem Day, sign the waiver. I would bet that he would not do that, and that he would announce that the embassy is going to be moving. We will have had our ambassador, David Friedman, confirmed by then, and so I think it'll be easier for him to follow through with the policy than it would have been on day one. So I think it's going to happen, and I wanted to come out here and look at some of the sites that people have discussed. And we looked at the Consul General site over on Oregon Road. We looked at the U.S. Consulate section on David Flusser Street, the Diplomat Hotel, which is right by there, which the Americans have an interest in. And then there's a parcel of leased land in between that area and where we are now. My sense is, having looked at that, that probably that consulate section is the most ready building to do an embassy. But that's obviously going to be something that the president and his administration will have to decide upon. But this is exciting, I think, for a lot of us who believe that we've had a rough go in the last previous 8 years with U.S. Israel relationship. I think we feel like we're resetting this. We're really strong, not only from the American people, the Israel people, but also both the governments very much in sync, recognizing the common threats we face from terrorism, from terror-sponsoring regimes like Iran, and really working hard on the national security issues, and then, of course, economically. So to see this happen 50 years after the liberation of Jerusalem is going to be exciting for a lot of people in the United States, and I know it's going to be exciting for a lot of Israelis here in Jerusalem. I'd be happy to take any questions. Yes, sir.
Connor Powell, Fox News. I'm curious, have you, and while you're here, also spoken with Palestinians, or have you been in contact with other Arab countries about what the impact it might have?
Not since I'm here, but we have done that. I'm on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, and we've met with folks, including King Abdullah of Jordan. And I think you'll hear some of the same thing. We heard some of the same things. I think some of you will hear about some of the concerns. My sense is if you look at some of the issues that bind our country with, say, some of the Arab Gulf states who may not philosophically agree with this, their main concern is not Jerusalem right now. It's Iran's influence. It's some of the other security threats they face. And I think if you're an administration, Trump administration, taking a position that recognizes those threats and is willing to work with them, I don't think that the embassy issue is going to be as big a deal. I would also say when you're dealing with the Arab world, I think it's important to project decisiveness and strength. And the president made the promise. By him following through with it, I think some of these other Gulf countries, some of the Arab countries will look at that, and I think they'll see a strong and decisive leader, and I think they'll actually respect him more for it. If he gets cowed by some of the, oh, this may happen, that may happen, then I think that may ultimately be a bad thing for their administration writ large. So I think the circumstances are really favorable to do the move soon. Yes, sir.
Jonathan Ariel from the Israel TPS, the Israel News Service. Is there any possibility of some kind of linkage between the final decision to relocate the embassy and the and negotiate on a regional peace deal? We already heard from President Trump that one state, two state, he doesn't care, and all the talk has been that there's more likelihood for a multilateral regional peace agreement rather than a bilateral Israeli-Palestinian one. Could the move to Jerusalem be part of, not because of the Arab world-made threats, but just as part of the overall arrangements to try and facilitate a regional peace deal?
Well, I don't think they're necessarily linked, but I think that if the president wants to use this move in conjunction with trying to bring stable order, then I think he's free to do that. I think that's really up to him. I mean, at the end of the day, he's going to be faced with a choice. The waiver's expiring. Do you take affirmative action to extend the waiver, or do you simply allow the waiver to lapse and then announce that we are, in fact, complying with the law and moving the embassy? And so if he wants to do other things in conjunction with that law, then that's totally his prerogative as president. Yes, sir.
Hello, Ariel Kahler from Makor Rishon here in Israel. First of all, do you know why the president didn't sue for his promise and didn't move the embassy in the first days? And secondly, did you hear from Prime Minister Netanyahu his demand of moving the embassy, as you said, many people here in Israel wanted to happen?
So I spoke with the prime minister today. He thinks it would be great if we moved our embassy. He was supportive. Everyone else I've spoken to has been supportive with the Israeli government. We're going to be meeting with some more folks later tonight as well. So I think that people are hungry to see that happen. In terms of what the president did and how he analyzed it, you know, I think when you campaign and you talk about doing things on day one, the problem is when you're doing things internationally, you don't have any of your people in place. I mean, there are some logistical things that I think are understandable. He probably was briefed that this waiver was going to expire anyways. And so maybe he wanted to get his Secretary of State confirmed, his Ambassador David Friedman confirmed, so he'd be able to handle this and with his own folks. And so, you know, there's something to be said for doing it on day one because you do it and you start with a splash. And I think that was probably would have been my advice going in. But we are where we are. And I still think if it ends up getting done in May, that will still be a very positive development. Yes, sir.
Ilan Levy for Tablet Magazine. You mentioned that one of the options you were considering is the U.S. consulate site on Agron Road. Now, that consulate presently serves as the U.S. diplomatic mission to the Palestinian Authority. Is the new administration of the opinion that it's appropriate for the U.S. to have a diplomatic mission to the Palestinian Authority in West Jerusalem?
I don't know the answer to that question. I think that that would be good to ask them. It's interesting, even on the Foreign Affairs Committee, you know, until you actually get here and start talking to people, there's not a lot of, I think, understanding about just how some of these missions are operating in terms of how they're servicing Palestinian Arabs versus some of the Israelis. So I don't know the answer to that question, but I think it is an interesting one. Yes, sir.
Warren Lieberman, CNN. In your studying of the issue, do you believe that if the embassies move, there won't be another outbreak of violence? Do you think it will remain calm if the embassies move, showing decisiveness?
I can't predict what will happen, so I wouldn't want to make that prediction at all. But I think if you look at the benefits of moving it, I think outweigh the risks.
What are the benefits in your mind?
Well, I think one is truth. You know, we have this historic connection with the Jewish people in the city of Jerusalem. Part of the things that's frustrated me, and I think some of our colleagues with some of the Palestinians, is a denialism about the connection, the deep connection. When Arafat rejected the deal with Barak in 2000, he scoffed at the idea that there was ever a Jewish temple on the Temple Mount. He didn't recognize that. And so, you know, we have to be truthful and understand that this is one of the most ancient capital cities, and it is rightfully their capital city. And there's no other country in the world where we do not locate our embassy in that country's chosen capital city. So I think that that's important. Two, I do think it's important that the president, having made the pledge, that he follow through with it. I think the situation in Syria is very messy. But I think when Barack Obama drew that red line and then didn't follow it, that had really bad consequences for his credibility. So I think that that's important as well. And then third is, I think it really showed that America is standing four square behind our allies here in Israel. If you look, it was 2 months ago where you had the United States abstain from a really destructive UN resolution that not only was anti-Israel, which we're used to at the UN, but really sought to deny Jewish history. And we condemned it in the Congress overwhelmingly. And I know the incoming administration would have vetoed that. But when you see some of those things, I think that it's very important that we say, you know what, you know, we're standing with our friends in the state of Israel, because they certainly stand with us. Yes.
Jordan Miller, ABC News. How would you describe the president's relationship to this trip you've taken today? Did he send you? Did he support you?
No. This is a congressional, as the chairman of the committee, knowing that this decision point was coming, we have very little time to be able to do some of these trips, just given the congressional schedule. I didn't think that we wanted to be in a position as a committee without having been on the ground and really talked to people and looked at the different sites if he was going to relocate it. So it wasn't at his behest that we're coming. It was basically so that we're making sure we're able to handle our affairs should the decision be made in May the way we hope that it will be.
Just a follow-up question. Are you going to present a report to the president from this trip?
We're going to communicate what we found and what we've seen. Absolutely. Yes, ma'am.
I'm Varda Epstein, Elder of Zion. Is it your opinion that if the embassy is moved to Jerusalem, that Europe will follow suit with their embassies?
That's interesting. One of the things on this trip that I think has been fairly consensus view is that a lot of those other countries just don't want to go first. But if America goes first, that America will not be the last, that you will see other countries follow suit and keep maintain their embassy in Jerusalem. Of course, if you look, many of you know, you go to our Tel Aviv embassy. I mean, it's a much bigger footprint than most countries have here in Israel. And that's appropriate given our relationship. So some of the countries, it would probably be even easier to move it than it is for the United States. So, yeah, I think that that's pretty much the consensus view, that you will see others move it. Yes, sir.
Hi, Rory Jones from the Wall Street Journal. Have you spoken to any security staff here in Israel about the move and what it might mean for Palestinians?
Well, we focused on the American security and how you protect the various facilities. So, and we've been briefed on that both for Tel Aviv and then in some of the facilities here. It's interesting, the consulate section building, I think, is very well guarded. The Tel Aviv embassy, I mean, they do have it fortified, but that's right on a very busy street. And So we focused on kind of what we would do to protect our embassy and make sure it's secure. And obviously the administration would have to take steps. But that's kind of been the focus, just because on the committee, we're going to be focused on that. Obviously, there's going to be other issues involved in security. We have discussed the role that the Palestinian security forces play in maintaining order in the West Bank. Most of the folks that we've spoken with in Israel have been pleased with that, and they think that they're doing a pretty good job. There's going to be debates in the U.S. Congress, let me tell you, about continuing funding for the Palestinian Authority, because when you see different things where the Palestinian Authority is paying the salaries for the families of terrorists, that is something that, and you can say that our money is not going directly to that, but it's all fungible. And so when things like that are brought up, then American taxpayers are not happy with that. So that will be a debate in the Congress that we're going to have. I think with the previous administration, there was no real, they didn't really want to go that way. I think this administration has signaled they may be willing to go that way. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Yolanda from BBC. Are you able to give us more details about who exactly was in your delegation, how many you were, and who you've been meeting here in Israel?
So we've, the delegation has been me and committee staff, and we've been meeting with the American mission in Tel Aviv. We've met with the consul general staff in both of the facilities that we visited in Jerusalem. We have met with individuals with the Israeli government, the prime minister. We've met with some members of Knesset. We'll meet with more. We are going to meet with the mayor of Jerusalem, I think, later today. And we're looking forward to doing that.
Did you meet former Ambassador Shapiro?
I did not, but you know, as part of our briefing for the trip, we were provided with a number of his thoughts, including some of the articles that he's written about this subject. And he's somebody who the folks here, even though they disagreed with some of the administration's policies, had very high regard for Ambassador Shapiro.
And do you have a reaction to Trump's accusation that Obama wiretapped him?
You know, I don't have my phone with me. I kind of saw an article about it, but I haven't read up on that. I mean, normally I could check the headlines, but they give me like this special phone, so I'm just not in a position to fully understand what's going on. I haven't been watching TV. Yes, sir.
Is your subcommittee involved with the issue of anti-Semitism in the United States?
It's a good question. So my subcommittee, I was chairman last Congress. I held the first hearing in Congress about combating BDS. And it's something that a lot of our states are pressing forward on because they can penalize companies or countries in terms of how they invest with those companies or countries or allow them to invest with the states. And in Congress now, we're looking to really empower them to do even more. But here's the thing about BDS that I think is telling. The day we did the BDS hearing was in the afternoon. That morning, we did a hearing about the Iran deal. This is before the deal had happened. And there were protesters at our hearing protesting in favor of relaxing sanctions against Iran. Now, I disagree with that, but if that's your position, you can articulate it. The troubling thing for me is when we did the BDS hearing, the same protesters who were protesting in favor of relaxing sanctions against Iran were protesting in favor of sanctioning Israel. So if that didn't show you the double standard that you see with things like BDS, I don't know what does. And I do think that BDS is rooted in anti-Semitism, because when you look and you treat every other country in the world with one standard, and then you treat the only Jewish state with a different standard, to me, that is rooted in anti-Semitism. We are seeing a rise of anti-Semitism. I've been concerned with anti-Semitism rising throughout Europe, but now we are seeing, unfortunately, a rise of anti-Semitism in the United States. So it is a concern for people in the Congress. I know the president spoke out against it at his joint address. We got to nip this in the bud. I mean, this is just unacceptable. So we'll do what we can in the Congress for sure. I do think you will see some action against BDS coming down the pike. There's a good bill in the Senate. We're working on a version in the House. Yes, ma'am.
Aren't you concerned that moving the embassy to Jerusalem might risk the effort that the president is making in order to have a regional summit?
So, I mean, some people say, will this hurt the peace process and the prospects? I mean, you know, guys, you follow this stuff. those prospects are dead as a doornail right now. I mean, that's just the reality. And I mean, there's not a lot of people, even people who really want to have a final two-state solution. And I would say that support for that in the Congress is definitely waning, given the history of the last 10, 15 years. Even if you believe that, we're not in a position where there's a clear way forward right now. So I don't think that it will hurt this, that prospect at all. And I think the president is in a position where he's going to be able to create a regional alliance, because we have clear interests that coincide with the Sisi government in Egypt, with King Abdullah. And as long as they're playing the role that we have, I think the Trump administration is going to be very supportive. And in the Congress, I can tell you, we're going to be very supportive of those governments.
Is your committee looking at possible viable alternatives to the two-state solution? There are these two plans that have been forwarded here in Israel, which are based on more one-state solution, but in some kind of federation or confederation context, which means it could be more... be easier to manage. Is your committee looking into that at all?
You know, our view is basically Israel should do, we want what is good for Israel's security and prosperity. And so for us to say, you know, you have to do a two-state solution, a lot of us in the Congress, you know, if that's what they want to do, then they can pursue that. And there are other alternatives that have been put forward. And I think we're going to be of the same mind. If Israel thinks that that's a way forward for a sustainable future, then that would be something that Congress would support. We're more interested in
details on the alternative. Congress,
we might. I mean, it could be something that we do, but we don't have necessarily plans on the Oversight National Security Committee, just because we're focused so much on kind of our government and what we're doing and conducting oversight. That may be something that's looked at in the Foreign Affairs Committee. I would say if you look at American public opinion, I'd say support for an Arab state has been declining over the past decade. And I think that there's a growing fear in the Congress that if you were to move in that direction, you'd be basically creating a state that would be involved in a lot of terrorism. And we obviously don't want to see that. Yes.
Have you met with any defense officials? Are you meeting with Avigdor Lieberman or anybody in the IDF, even in military intelligence?
We wanted to, but our trip is so short that it was tough to arrange. But it's definitely something we're interested in, for sure. Yes, sir.
Congressman Rafael Aaron from the Times of Israel. There have been many reports in recent weeks that it was actually Israeli top officials who asked the administration not to move the embassy on day one. I'm wondering if you had any indication of this kind of hesitancy coming from Jerusalem officials.
No, and I read those reports, and I expected to maybe encounter some of that. I thought maybe someone would say kind of behind the scenes, look, we support it, but we need to get, you know, we have this fish in the fryer or whatever right now. But I didn't encounter any of that. And so those reports may or may not have been accurate, but there's no hesitancy from the folks that I spoke with since I've been here. Yes, sir.
I was just wondering if on the border wall, switching subjects for a second, if you met with any Israeli border or fence security companies, just given the level of that technology here.
I didn't on this trip, but that is actually something we've done on prior trips. The situations in terms of our border and this border, I think, is much different. But I think that if you look at how Israel is able to troubleshoot some of these things, they figure out ways to get it done. Our government has not been very good at that. And so you're looking at a president looking to build a wall. He said he wants to do it in a very cost-effective way. That's easier said than done, but I think he could learn a lot from how Israel has done things. Yes, sir.
The consular section that you said you were looking at straddles the green line between Israel and no man's land from the 1948 war. Is your committee looking only at locations within West Jerusalem, or are you looking at anywhere in Jerusalem, including possible locations in the Eastern Half?
We're not limited to anything. Those are the sites that have been most discussed. Is so why we focused on it, because quite frankly, it isn't going to be our decision. I don't think that the majority of the Congress thinks that you could only do it in kind of West Jerusalem, because Congress views Jerusalem as the capital city.
Do you think you can take a view on the move without talking to defense officials or security officials?
Well, yeah, the Congress has taken a view, you know, 20 years ago when they passed the bill. So Congress has weighed in on that definitively. I'm assuming there was discussion before Congress passed that bill. I think the administration, they're in a position where they can announce that it's going to be moved or they can sign the waiver. And so those types of discussions absolutely should be had with the executive branch.
Aren't you leading this delegation supposed to be having those conversations? I mean, you're assuming that 20 years ago those conversations were had, but you're leading this delegation now not having those conversations. I mean, isn't that sort of an abdication of your responsibility as the chairman?
No, I don't think so. First of all, we are interested in the security situation, but our jurisdiction is really focused on how we protect our assets. And we've been dealing with that extensively, and it is very important. The overall broader security situation, that's very important, but that's something that for kind of our grant is a little bit beyond where we're going to be. And it's also not going to be something that this committee is going to make the final decision on. It's going to be the president who's going to make the decision. And I think he considered a lot of these things when he took the campaign position that he did, and I'm assuming the other presidential candidates, because I think if you looked at that stage, I think every single one of them said that they would relocate the embassy to Jerusalem. If there's anyone who didn't, correct me, but I think every one of them did it. So I think that they all knew the underlying issues, and I think they had made different calculations and had decided that was in America's best interest to do it. Yes, sir.
You touched upon some of the reasons why it's the right thing to move the embassy. Can you expand upon why it's the right thing on a geopolitical level for the United States to move the embassy to Jerusalem?
Well, I think it does have ramifications beyond just this part of the world, because I think when a president is acting decisively, following through with their word, I think that does send a signal to other countries that America is going to stand by its allies. And if you remember, there was discussion in the campaign about whether the president was dedicated to NATO or this or whatever. So given that, I think that it would be a very positive step. And you've also seen our key administration officials re-up our support for NATO. Obviously, we want those NATO countries to participate more in their own defense. So I think it would be a very positive thing geopolitically for the United States to make the move. Yes, sir.
When you build a wall between America and Mexico, you are not worried about tunnels. You may have advice from Israel how to deal with them.
So I came in 2014, it was about 2 weeks before the Gaza rockets started to rain down. And so we went down to Stay Road. You know, we looked at that area and obviously talked to the citizens who lived there, where it was just a fact of life that they may have to duck and cover. But you don't really appreciate these tunnels. I mean, it's really an incredible thing. My understanding is that they're now doing walls down to basically prevent the tunnels from being built. I don't know how that relates to kind of the Mexican situation. I mean, that's pretty sophisticated. So we'll see how that ends up shaking out for sure.
Is the purpose of this trip to in part put some pressure on the president to move the embassy, given we've seen a little bit of hesitancy in the last few weeks?
It's mostly so that we and the Congress and the committee are able to conduct the oversight that we need to for embassy security, all the issues involving the embassies that we deal with. And I just felt it was important that people had kind of said it didn't happen on day one. And so people just said, well, he said he was going to move the embassy, didn't. What else is new? This is just like any other administration. But looking at the waiver timeline, I just didn't think that was something you could just write off. And so I'm looking for this May period to come up. You're going to have people here celebrating the 50th anniversary. And my sense is that it's likely that he lets that waiver expire. So I think I think they'll be able to do it. I mean, this isn't going to change that either way. But I think it does raise the issue for us on the committee. And we'll be able to acquire some knowledge so that if it's done, we're going to be in a position to conduct the oversight that we need
to
conduct.
Any revision in the embassy law? The current embassy law does not annex Jerusalem as part of Israel. In other words, yes, there will be an embassy here. I was president in October 94, but I said in 1995 when it was passed, and it was watered down so that Jerusalem is not part of Israel, even though the embassy moves here. Will there be a change in that legislation?
I don't know that if Congress will change it, but I think that that's really a decision for the president to make. If you remember just recently, there was a Supreme Court decision about the birth certificates. Right. Congress had said that when you have births in Jerusalem, that the birth certificate should read Jerusalem, Israel. The Obama administration did not want to do that, and so they took it to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court sided with the president, and they said, look, this is impinging on Article 2 and the president's ability to conduct foreign relations, so Congress can't force the president to write Israel or the executive branch to write Israel on the birth certificates. So it may be a similar issue where the president, as the chief foreign policy organ, is the one that would have to do the recognition. I don't know. Maybe there would be a distinction. But I will say on the birth certificate, there's interest now in the Congress, and we're going to be sending a letter to Secretary of State Tillerson. The Supreme Court said Congress can't mandate that they do it, but they're certainly free to reevaluate the policy and to add Israel on the birth certificates. They can do that with a stroke of a pen. So we're going to be writing to Tillerson soon and asking that he reinstitute that policy so that people on their birth certificates have Jerusalem and there's a country. It's not just Jerusalem floating in space.
Thank you.
Yes, back there.
Your brief is embassy security on the trip right now. Do you have any concerns that Jerusalem embassy move would endanger U.S. forces, other U.S. personnel, U.S. diplomats in countries outside of Israel in the Palestinian territories, in Jordan or in Egypt? Or
I mean, I think any time America takes action, people will say that all the embassies are going to flare up around the world. I mean, sometimes that there's some truth. Sometimes it's totally not true. I don't know how people will react. I think the president will obviously take that into account. We have an interest in embassy security across the world, not just in Jerusalem. But I don't know how people will react in different parts of the world. But I do think that if your policy is being driven by the fact that people could react negatively, that's probably not going to lead you to do very good policy in the long run.
What do you say to critics who claim that a U.S. embassy move will tarnish the U.S.'s position as a fair mediator in the peace talks?
Well, look, people, I personally, as an American congressman on the Foreign Affairs Committee, as its chairman, I don't consider myself to be an honest broker in this. Most of the people in the Congress aren't honest brokers in the sense that, you know, we are supportive of Israel, who's our ally. And I think that this administration has come in, and I think that there's more of an interest in supporting Israel. If you remember what Trump said when he was with Prime Minister Netanyahu, he's like, one state, two state, whatever. We want to do what's good for Israel. That is a change from the previous administration had been really trying to broker Israel into making concessions. So I think you've had different approaches. You know, let's just be honest with both sides. I think the Obama team tended to view Israel as the recalcitrant party. And I think that the Trump administration is going to be more, let's support Israel and let's get to places, help them get to places that can lead to a lasting peace. But in terms of being kind of even-handed, I don't think American voters necessarily view the parties as the same. I think that Americans overwhelmingly want us to stand by Israel. So I don't claim to be impartial in this. You know, I think that I'm supporter of Israel.
So the Palestinians can now expect to have an administration that sees itself favoring Israel? Is that what you're saying?
I think that the administration, from what I gleaned from the press conference and some of the other moves, nominating David Friedman to be the ambassador, is that they see Israel as a very key ally, and they think it's our role to really stand with them, not to browbeat them into making concessions or doing deals that aren't necessarily in their interest. Doesn't mean you can't work constructively, perhaps, with the Palestinian Authority, but I think the president pointed out, and he's one of the first presidents that I can remember to do this, he really indicted Palestinian behavior in that press conference, and he talked about some of the incitement, and he talked about some of the things that go on there that make it very difficult to see how you'd have a lasting peace given that state of mind. All right, guys, thank you. Appreciate it.
So as you can see and as you can hear from all of the various questions, I mean, everyone was there at Fox News, CNN, Wall Street Journal, BBC. I mean, you know, all the top names in the world of mainstream media, if you will. There were also some very important bloggers and others who were in the room asking important questions. And just a couple other things that I want to stress in terms of what the congressman said. He mentioned that, as we know, this is the 50th year of the reunification of Jerusalem, the liberation of Judea, Samaria, and the Golan. DeSantis does not think that while Israel is celebrating 50 years of the reunification of Jerusalem, that President Trump will sign that waiver pushing off moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Every president, ever since Congress voted and by U.S. law stated that the U.S. embassy belongs in Jerusalem, every president has signed this waiver, making the move, I don't know if you want to call it illegal, but making the move not happen. He does not believe, as you heard, he does not believe that while Israel's in the midst this coming May and June of celebrating 50 years, he doesn't think that President Trump would sign that waiver and spoil the festivities. He believes that it's going to happen, and it's going to happen very, very soon. He also mentioned, if you noticed, that David Friedman will be confirmed as the next U.S. ambassador to Israel. He believes that very, very strongly. He also stressed that in Congress, support for the so-called two-state solution is waning. And that is a major, major change, something we're seeing here. And this is an opportunity for Israel to seize the day and apply sovereignty over whether it's so-called Area C, whether it's all of Judea and Samaria. I mean, the time is now. If Israel wants to go back and undo the damage that Oslo has caused, now is the time. You're not going to get a more friendly administration in the White House. And again, I always have problems with always having to defer to the U.S. administration or anybody else in general, the European Union, and only do things when it's right for them. But what we're seeing and what we've seen is historically Israel has relied on the advice, the friendship, the needs, I guess, if you will, of the U.S. government, which I have a problem with. But that being said, now is the time to seize the opportunity. Now is the time to drop the two-state solution. And as Ron DeSantis said, it is waning. Support for two-state solution is waning in Congress. And one last point, he mentioned that U.S. taxpayers have had enough paying the salaries of terrorists sitting in Israeli jails. Those are terrorists who came from the Palestinian Authority, who carried out acts of murder or attempted murder, who are now being supported on the payroll of the PA. I know that Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina, also adamant in a talk I heard that he gave last week at the Republican National Convention, the RNC, Republican National Conference or Convention, if you will, in Las Vegas, saying it's enough. It's stop. We have to stop paying the salaries, or the U.S. taxpayers, really, because the money's diverted to pay the salaries of terrorists who have committed the most heinous and atrocious acts of jihad against the people of Israel and American citizens here. So Congressman DeSantis also yesterday saying U.S. taxpayers are not happy that money is going to pay the salary of terrorists. Just overall, it was an amazing press conference. I know it got coverage all over the world. And let's hope the other members of U.S. Congress follow in the footsteps of Ron DeSantis and support his initiative to move the embassy once and for all from Tel Aviv to our capital in Jerusalem. I think that's going to do it for today, for the 6th of March, 2017. Thank you very much to Binyamin Bresky for putting all the audio together. Without him, we just couldn't get it done. My name is Josh Haston. Be in touch with me during the week, josh@thelandofisrael.com. Also on Facebook, Joshua Haston, and on Twitter, @JoshHaston. Most importantly, between now and when we speak again next week, everybody be safe. Shalom from Jerusalem.
The best place to stay in Jerusalem is Windows of Jerusalem Apartments. Windows of Jerusalem Vacation Apartments offers luxury five-star short and long-term rental apartments in the heart of Jerusalem's city center. Elegant and modern, inviting and comfortable. The view, the location, the great apartments, and the staff will truly make you feel at home in Jerusalem. Book your stay now at windowsofjerusalem.com. That's windowsofjerusalem.com.
Hey folks, this is Jeremy Gimpel. I want you to know, if you're a non-Jew from a Christian background or just a full-fledged Christian and you want to come to Israel, the best program, tour, experience that you could possibly have is to go with Hayovel. Now, it's weird. I'm an Orthodox Jewish rabbi, and I'm telling Christians to go to this Christian ministry in the middle of Samaria. Let me tell you, there is no better experience for someone outside of the land, outside of the Jewish fold, to come into the land and work alongside the Jewish farmers of Samaria, to learn about the culture, to meet the people. It's an experience like no other, and I think it's also probably the cheapest way to travel to Israel. So go to hayovel.com.